In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus says, one thing is needful. Now it's easy to read these four verses and label Martha and Mary. It's easy to dehumanize Martha and Mary into these impersonal categories. It's easy to turn Martha and Mary into these static object lessons, one to exemplify and one to disparage. But they are not that. Martha, she is a woman with a name who welcomed Jesus into her home, her physical home. And Mary, she is a woman with a name who is Martha's sister, who sat at her Lord's feet and listened diligently to her Lord's teaching. But like all human relationships, I'm sure that it was quite complex, a nuance between Martha and Mary, these two sisters. And so it's not fair for us to assume that Martha was some sort of busybody, a worrywart, anxious about everything, and who only found her identity in keeping the kitchen clean and slaving over a stove and serving others. Nor is it fair, on the other hand, to view Mary as some sort of perfect, iconic disciple of Jesus, always sitting at the feet of Jesus, always hanging at every word of Jesus, because people are just simply not that flat. People are not that consistent. Our attitudes and our actions are rarely, if ever, consistent. So bear in mind what Jesus does not say to Martha. He doesn't barge into her house and tell her to stop doing what she is doing and sit at my feet, Martha, and listen to me. He doesn't compare her to Mary and say that she is doing a bad and wrong thing and Mary is doing a good and right thing. He doesn't tell her that what she is doing is unimportant and that what Mary is doing is important. The only point of conflict in this short narrative is when Martha comes to Jesus and complains to him and says, "Look, my sister is not helping me with all the stuff in the kitchen, if you will." That's the only point of the conflict. So Jesus then turns to Martha and says to her something that likely, that assuredly could be said to all of us. "You are anxious and troubled about many things." These words cut most of us to the heart because we know it to be true. Physically speaking, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking. But in the context, the many things that Martha is troubled and anxious about are all within that little sphere of her home. She is primarily concerned and troubled about serving Jesus, his disciples, and anyone else who happens to come by there. I mean, it's a lot to be sure, but it pales in comparison when you consider what we modern or postmodern people are concerned about today. Largely gone are those small villages, those cul-de-sacs where life was limited to the backyard laughter of children playing together, baseball fields of kids putting together a baseball game, or a picnic table and tree swings where girls would swing on trees and actually talk to one another. That simplicity of living life without the greater troubles and concerns that now flood into our inboxes and into our screens and into all the ways in which things are communicated to us these days. Because now, as you well know, it's a global society. Even if you live in a tiny house at the end of a red dirt road. Because information is now whizzing back and forth in countless forms and in countless different ways. News to us comes almost instantaneously as it happens. And particularly, it's usually bad things. And in some way, these things we are forced to deal with, forced to process, even if we just read the headlines. It still is causing us trouble. And so we have today more information than anyone else has ever had in human history. And we don't know what to do with all of it. This is why we become anxious. This is why we become troubled. Because not only is it the things in our lives, but it's the things in our families, it's the things with our children and grandchildren and our own congregation and all the things going on there, and then our own country and all its politics and economics, and then all the things around the world with its wars, etc., etc. Already, back in 1940, C.S. Lewis, the great author and apologist of the Christian faith, he wrote to his brother talking about the fact that our inability to scatter our sympathies globally across the world. And so he writes this in 1940, by the way. The present rapidity of communication has imposed a burden on sympathy for which sympathy was never made. The natural thing was to be discussed. No, the natural thing, excuse me, was to be distressed about what was happening to the poor Joneses in your own village. And that the modern situation, in which journalism now brings the Chinese and the Russians and the Finns and the Poles and the Turks to your notice each morning, really could not be met in the same way. He goes on to say that I think about it at the present, that the world as it is now becoming and has become is simply too much for people of the old square, rigid type. I don't understand its economics or its politics or anything about it. End of quote. After I read that, I was like, I'm right there with you, Lewis. It's not just those who are square people. That is, people who will never know what a computer is or a smartphone or know what high-speed internet is or what information technology and all the things that it can do. No, it's the fact that from young to old, we are troubled about so many things. And in general, it's almost like the loss of meaning and values that once governed our small villages, our world. And even if we did live in a tiny house at the end of a red dirt road. So this is why Jesus says to us, we are troubled about many things. And that there is one thing needful in your life. Because Martha's issue is not that she is doing bad things and that Mary is doing good things. It's not that Martha is doing unimportant things and that Mary is doing the important thing. The problem here comes when the many things become conflicted with the one thing. That's the problem. Because what is Martha saying to Jesus when she comes and complains to Jesus that Mary is not helping her? Which is to say, Mary, stop doing what you are doing and help me. Because your serving and your doing and your working is more important than your sitting and your listening and your receiving of Jesus. Now, isn't that the way of the world today? Everyone knows that doing and working is more important than not doing and not working. And the church will even fall after this kind of thinking. There are churches that essentially will cancel their divine services so that they can go out and serve and work and do for the sake of all their people. A few years back, what they called it kind of this sacramental entrepreneurship. And it would say things like this: we don't want to just simply go to church, we want to be the church. Well, how? By working and serving and doing. And by no means does Jesus say that those things are bad or that they're unimportant or that they're not worthwhile. They are. But one thing he says is very important, and he's clear about. If you think that serving and working and doing, even for me, that is, Jesus says, is more important than sitting and hearing and receiving from me, Jesus says, you've missed the point. Because there's one thing needful, and it's the opposite of everything that the ambitious sinner thinks is important. Think about it. In our tornado of distraction and anxiety and trouble, does it work to add more working, more serving, and more doing? Will that ever anchor you with some sort of peace or calm? Absolutely not. You need something to ground yourself in Christ, which is Christ, that is. And it's exactly what Mary's doing, which is to say she's doing nothing. She's doing nothing. Jesus is doing everything as he is always doing everything, and he's the center of this narrative as he is the center of the entire Bible. He is the anchor in the midst of Martha's troubled and anxiety and worry. She just doesn't know it yet. And so we tend to think that the Christian life is primarily about action. That once we are saved, so to speak, that we now get to working and doing and serving for other people. But the fact remains that the Christian life is primarily about the life of Christ. Really, as Luther would point it, the vita passiva, the Latin which means the passive life. The life of receiving, which is to say, being baptized, being forgiven, being declared holy, being fed and nourished with his holy body and blood, being raised from the dead, which is to say, all of that is God's work, in which we do nothing but receive it. Only God's word spoken in our flesh by Christ through his called and ordained servants and fellow Christians can we have that anchor of peace in the midst of a world and a waterfall of worry and a tornado of trouble working around every corner. This is why we have the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. When Jesus fulfills the Sabbath on the Saturday following his death, he rested from all the work that he had done as he said, "It is finished. My work is finished," Jesus says, whereas our work is never done in this creation. His work was finished in his death and his resurrection. So now, what does he do? He delivers his finished work of his death and his resurrection that Sabbath rest in the midst of your never-ending work, never-ending service, never-ending to-do list. With all of that anxiety and all of that trouble and all of that fretting, that His work is for you. And this work that He gives you is that you receive it. And He refuses to take His work away from you or from the people. In spite of the fact that so many people think that their work is more important than His. But His work is the one thing needful. He is the one thing needful. And that is why we are here, because He is here, that is Jesus. So we can sit and we can hear and we can receive from Jesus all the gifts that He has accomplished for us and now delivers to us through our ear and into our bodies. When we are busy with important and worthwhile work for the sake of our neighbor, that is good and that is fine. But we still must remember the one thing needful. Because there will come a time when we can no longer work, when our bodies and our minds prevent us from doing the work that we once did all of our life. And the world might label us as being non-productive members of society. But even then, though the world says that, God in His Son, Jesus Christ, will be doing the one thing needful for you. Doing His work, giving His life to you, both now and forever. In the name of Jesus, Amen.